contains adult content, which could include sexual behaviour or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, violence, and dangerous behaviour. Part 1. Chapter 1. A Room Without a View.
"It is terrible," said Miss Bartlett. "Really terrible. The Signora promised us south rooms with a view, but we have north rooms with no view."
"And she sounds like she's from London," said Lucy. She looked at the row of English people who sat on either side of the dinner table and the bottles of water and red wine that stood in front of them, and then at the picture of the English Queen above their heads.
"Don't you feel that we could be in London in this pension?" she added, turning to her cousin. "Oh, I really wanted a view of the River Arno."
"Any room is fine for me," Miss Bartlett replied. "But it does seem hard that you don't have a view."
"Of course you must have a view over the Arno too, Charlotte," Lucy said quickly.
"The first room at the front that comes..."
"No, you must have it," argued Miss Bartlett,
knowing that Lucy's mother was paying for this journey.
"Or your mother would never forgive me."
"No, no."
Lucy was embarrassed. She knew that Miss Bartlett was poor.
"You must have it, or she would never forgive me."
Some of the other guests were looking uncomfortable. Then one of them moved forward in his chair and said,
"I have a view."
Miss Bartlett was shocked. Usually at a pension, the different guests did not speak much for the first few days. She knew that the man who spoke was of a lower class. He was old and heavy, with a wide, pale face and large eyes that were like a child's. Miss Bartlett looked away and said coldly,
"How lovely a view is!"
"This is my son, George," said the old man. "He has a view too. What I mean is, you can have our rooms. We'll change."
"Thank you very much," replied Miss Bartlett.
"But we can't allow it."
"Why?"
said the old man.
"We don't like to take..."
Lucy began.
"But why?" he said again. "Women like a view, and men don't."
Suddenly, he hit the table with his hand and turned to his son.
"George, tell them."
"Of course they should have the rooms," replied George. The young man did not look at the ladies as he spoke, but he sounded confused and a bit sad. Lucy felt confused too. She looked at the old man and saw that trouble was coming. He began to attack them with words. Why should they not change? What reason could Miss Bartlett give? He and his son could have their things out in half an hour. Miss Bartlett reddened, and she looked around at the other guests with a face that said,
"Are you all like this?"
Two little old women looked back.
"No, we are from a good class, and we have manners,"
their faces replied.
"Eat your dinner, dear," Miss Bartlett said quietly, turning back to Lucy.
"This pension is no good. We'll change it tomorrow."
But as soon as she decided this, the door to the dining room opened and a large clergyman with a kind face entered. Lucy jumped to her feet and cried,
"Oh, Mr. Beebe, how lovely! Oh, Charlotte, we must stay here now." "How do you do, Mr. Beebe?" said Miss Bartlett. "Do you remember us? Miss Bartlett and Miss Honeychurch, who were at Tunbridge Wells that very cold April."
The clergyman did not remember the ladies very well, but he came forward smiling and sat in an empty chair.
"Miss Honeychurch lives in Summer Street," said Miss Bartlett. "I understand that you are going to be their clergyman."
"That's right," replied Mr. Beebe. "I'm going to move there in June. I'm very lucky. It's a lovely town."
"Oh, I'm glad," said Lucy. "The name of our house is Windy Corner. There is Mother, me, and my brother, although he doesn't go to church often."
"Please, Lucy, Mr. Beebe wants to eat his dinner," said Miss Bartlett.
"I am eating it and enjoying it," replied Mr. Beebe.
He talked to Lucy about Florence, and he was happy to hear that it was her first time there. Suddenly, everyone around the table was trying to give her information. What to see, when to see it, how to use the trains.
"You must go to Prato," cried a clever-looking lady. "Prato is wonderful."
Only the old man and his son did not speak. Lucy felt embarrassed watching them, and when she left, she gave them a small nod. The father did not notice, but the son looked up and smiled back at her in a strange way. It was like he was smiling across something. Lucy entered the hall to find Miss Bartlett speaking to Mr. Beebe and their English signora. Lucy realised that they were talking about the old man and the offer of his rooms.
"His name is Emerson. I only know him from the pension," Mr. Beebe was telling Miss Bartlett.
"I am here looking after this young lady," said Miss Bartlett, "and she must not feel that she has to give something back to these people."
"He is quite an unusual man," said Mr. Beebe, and then added in a gentle voice, "but I do not think he will want you to feel that way. He just says what he means. Sometimes it is difficult to understand people who speak the truth."
"Oh, I am glad he is nice," said Lucy. "I always hope that people will be nice."
But Mr. Beebe was already going back into the dining room. He appeared a minute later with a smile.
"It is fine about the rooms. Mr. Emerson hopes that you will say yes this time."
Miss Bartlett took young Mr. Emerson's room. She closed the window shutters and locked the door. Then she noticed a piece of paper on the wall. On it was written, ? Miss Bartlett studied it closely. Suddenly, she had a very bad feeling. She wanted to burn it, but knew she must not, because it belonged to the young man. Very carefully, she took it down and put it between two pieces of paper to keep it clean. Then she sighed heavily and went to bed.